What up, America? Let's
Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is... My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh my goodness.
Hey man, I gotta put down my demo reel.
Man, you should, man. I've been doing this show. We've been doing this for a minute. I never get sick of that. It's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, amazing. Good job. Man, this month is flying by, gentlemen. But as we like to say, officially want to welcome everyone to Talk of Sports with 12th Man on this Wednesday, August the 30th. I'm ready to push it on August the 30th. We're almost there, but again, we're talking sports.
Slow down.
I know. I'm excited. Before we get started, dude, I do want to give a quick small prayer out to all the families in Houston. I know, Rob, you're kind of close to that as well, so I know a lot of things are happening. We know some things have calmed down, but just wanted to reiterate that as well, too. So hopefully they're getting everything settled in Houston and everything like that, too, man. So I know it's tough, but just want to throw that out there, too. But, again, we got a lot of things to talk about. I am ready to get this party started. Let's kick it with my co-host, Mr. JQ. How you feel this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I am awesome. I am chilling. I'm leaving the draft, and I'm coming here to talk to sports with y'all on my drive home, but it's all good. You know, it's raining to beat the band. Hurricane Harvey has decided to show up in Atlanta, but let's do it.
Yeah.
Man, how many fantasy football drafts are you in? Is that number 12?
Hey, it's your fault.
Why is it Robert's
fault? Hey, we just have three, man. I don't know who came up with the other nine.
Well, I had the other ones, but then once we start having these other ones, I'm like a full-time draft expert. Like, I'm trying to take Matthew Berry's job. Man.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to have a separate show on fantasy football experts.
Let's do it. Let's go get it.
Man, stay tuned for that, too. I can't wait, too. I thought about some ideas as a, you know, what's kind of in preparation next year for football. Like, you know, we're going to, like, isolate, like, we got, like, 32 teams. We're going to do, like, 32 days of just kind of talking about your team. And that's going to be fun, man. So stay tuned for that. I just want to analyze you know, kind of the roster. You know, if you were the GM, you know, I'll be the owner, whatever. We'll kind of go back and forth. It's kind of, you know, think about ideas. So that's what I want to do. Like, coming into next season as far as how would you make that team better, or just little things like that, too. So we'll get some more details as it comes along. But that's something I was literally pondering as the preseason was wrapping up and little things like that, gentlemen. But anyway, that's good. Rob, let's check with Rob. How you feeling this evening, Rob? Everything good, sir?
Oh, man, doing fabulous. Couldn't be better. Obviously, I would like to reiterate our thoughts and prayers are with people right here in Houston, Texas. Massive flooding still taking place as we speak in parts of the city. And also now even in Beaumont and Port Arthur, Texas. Now they're also getting some seriously massive flooding in that area as well. So our thoughts and prayers go out to those people.
Absolutely.
Gotcha. Are you you're not in the line of that, so I know it's talking about hitting New Orleans too and everything like that too. Everything good from your side as well, Rob, or what?
Yes, everything's good. Obviously, I've seen some of I'm actually in Houston. As far as New Orleans is concerned, New Orleans really impacted at all by that storm, just some rain. But Houston area, of course, was hit hard with over 50 trillion gallons of water has hit this metropolitan area.
Dang, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, wow. We knew that it was below sea level, so that's just crazy how certain parts, too. But anyway, just, you know.
And I've seen some firsthand of some families that have been impacted by this, too.
Wow. Well, again, you know, we definitely talk about sports, but we also want to keep just kind of a levity about the situation, about what's happening in the world around us, too. So that's something we want to reiterate. So thoughts and prayers out. And let's get this party started here. And apparently we got a couple things happening. We've got some people that want to call in and check in. So I'm going to check with them as well. And we'll check in with our first caller here, see how everything is going.
Uh-oh.
So my first caller, hello, you're talking sports with 12th Man. What's going on?
Hey, guys, it's Roger. How are you?
Hey, Roger, how are you, sir?
Hey, Roger, how are you?
Guys, I'm maintaining. I want to talk about Houston in a second. But actually, I saw that part of your program tonight is about Ezekiel Elliott, and I actually went to high school with him in Missouri.
St. Louis,
wow.
Stand up.
Wow. That's
Yeah.
Wow.
And what a lot of people don't know is Burroughs School in Launer is actually an academic powerhouse. It's really not a football program school. It's not one of these football factories like in South Florida and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
That's high academic school.
Yeah, but he's a Buckeye. So you're good with me.
Anything cool about Ezekiel that you want to kind of talk about? I mean, obviously, as far as it's kind of challenging what's happening right now. So anything you want to kind of add to the situation or anything you want to talk about that as well, sir?
Yeah, not a problem. Real quick, and then I'll let you guys go because I want to listen to the program. Is when I went to high school with him, I was actually a year behind him. He was a year older than me. I was obviously a junior when he was a senior, and he was bigger than life. Everybody knew he was going to go to a big school. We all thought Oklahoma, but he chose Ohio State and did very, very well, obviously. But long story short, when he went to when he was in high school, he had a game where he ran for over 375 yards his senior year. And I remember I actually did some taped some ankles, did some stuff like that for the football team. And after the game was the first time, he was real nice and down to earth to everybody, talked to everybody. And, of course, me only being 16 years old and a junior, I went up to him and I wanted to take a picture with him. And he says, oh, no, no, I'll do more than that. And that's when he pulled out his huge cock and let me blow him in the men's room.
Whoa, it was huge.
I put my lips around it like you couldn't believe, and I made sure that it was –
way
all inside. Oh yeah.
That went on another direction. I'm gonna have to stop on that one.
Hey,
I apologize.
Please hang up that call.
Apologies about that one. Anyway, let's keep this going here. Caller, I apologize about that. What's going on? That was interesting too. Go ahead. And welcome to Talk Sports 12 Man. How are you?
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
But I want to talk about Tiger Woods' big dick that's been all over the internet. The
okay. Yeah.
My
goodness,
what is going on tonight?
Yeah, where did that come from?
I have no clue what just happened.
No more callers.
America,
no more callers.
Yeah. America,
oh my
I am not sure what happened with that. This is kind of interesting, gentlemen. I'm going to have to do some screening here, so I apologize about that, guys.
Wait a minute. How does this happen? What? You know what? We have made it to the big time. When people call in to prank us with foolishness like that, that means we've made it to the big time. Just take it with a grain of salt, y'all. Go ahead, Dre. That's crazy, though. All I can do is laugh. What else can you say?
Unbelievable.
You know, I got to say, so I changed the I was able to adjust the Twitter, so I literally popped it. So whenever I sent out like a blast. And I really wonder if that's kind of having that effect too. So, again, apologies.
Wow.
And I literally had no idea that was going to happen too. So, maybe we made it big. But, we'll have to get this price right. And it's tough, Rob, too, because literally I put the number on there to call in. So the Twitter is apparently working. And Facebook and all that stuff is working too. So I thought there was legitimate calls. But – kind of getting back the track here and everything
it.
Like that, too.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wow.
I'm going to have to start screening them. I've got an option to screen stuff, too. So we'll keep that in the future,
too.
You
can't know that's coming. You can't know that's coming. That's just wow. That's anybody listening to the show knows that is a departure from what we normally do and the kind of calls that we take. That is ridiculous. So let's
We've been straight up catfish.
Yeah, we have. That's all that
we
is.
We'd like
go
to apologize to all of our listeners tonight out there. Obviously, we didn't see that coming. So, obviously, if our listeners are just tuning in to Talk Sports, you all know our history. You know how we operate. We don't tolerate that kind of foolishness on here on our airwaves. And so we would definitely like to apologize. If you can go back to our last 4 or 5 years on the air, we've never had that kind of foolishness on, so we do apologize.
Yeah, that's crazy. Go ahead, Dre.
That's okay. Yeah, again, I apologize. I'm a little shook. That was, like, crazy. I did not see that coming. That was kudos, but we got that coming next time, too. All right, so let's talk about this here. Give out the numbers really quickly. No more calls tonight, but we'll keep it on, too. So if you want to text us some information or whatever, Twitter us, we'll keep an eye on that as well, too. But, Rob, let's kick this off here, if you don't mind, and let's talk about the Cowboys. And I guess the question that we're going to kick it off with is, will the offense be okay without Ezekiel Elliott? And I'm sure we all have some things to say. And I guess we'll start off with you, Rob, as far as that, if you think they're going to be okay with without Ezekiel for a couple games.
Well, obviously, Ezekiel Elliott gives them a home run threat from the backfield, and they're going to miss that element in the first 6 games of the season. The good thing that the Cowboys have going for them is they probably have either the best or the second-best offensive line in football. And right up there with the Oakland Raiders, you know, give or take who's got the best line in the league. But so the Darren McFadden's of the world, they'll be a running back by committee. And I think they'll make do. I mean, I still think they can be a 3-3 to 4-2 ball club in the first 6 games until Zeke Elliott comes back. Obviously, they're just going to miss that home run threat in the backfield. I mean, you won't see these long 70, 80-yard break runs that Zeke Elliott will be able to provide for them. Like I said, they'll be a running back by committee. And but yeah, I think they'll manage to be at least a 500 ball club until he comes back. And I still see them as making the playoffs as a wild card, that they can just hang on until he gets back there. But like I said, I think the biggest thing they're going to miss is that home run threat, but their offensive line will get them by with some with their running back by committee approach.
Wow. Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just tripping off that ridiculous. This is making me laugh and be sad
too,
all at the same time. Like what the heck is that? But you know what? Think about it. That Rob talks about is honestly the truth. That offensive line is ridiculous. And let's not forget, you know, we have a lot of fun with at Denver Fast Expense and all the, you know, injuries that he's had. But he was a top 5 Heisman finalist, I think, and a top 6 pick in this draft. So McFadden coming in for Ezekiel Elliott, and then you also have Alfred Morris coming in as well. You know, it's kind of one of those don't cry for me Argentina moments for Dallas. They've got some help in the backfield that will, you know, they don't have those two guys combined on Ezekiel Elliott. But if you can kind of find a way to rotate them around and fill in the gaps when Ezekiel is not there, and like you said, at worst go 3-3, but at best 5-1 and maybe 4-2, unless, you know, his pitcher gets reduced. You still can win, and it's not to take away from Ezekiel Elliott's talent, but their offensive line talent is so great that with the running backs they have that are not Ezekiel Elliott, not like they have me and Andre taking 30 carries apiece, you know, in that backfield, like, you know, we're just going to do what you do. If we get to 2-4, then all right, you know, like, they don't have that problem. That you got to give. We criticize Jerry Jones a lot, but these times him and his, I guess his son-in-law or whatever, they have a pretty decent backfield stable that can fill in for a half a season to get Zeke back at the worst. And maybe at better, you only have to do it for 3 or 4 games if his suspension gets reduced. So, you know, I feel like they can maintain water with that. The biggest problem for me with Dallas is that secondary, and that has nothing to do with Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah. Yeah.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was getting ready to talk about their secondary. That would be the biggest issue for them to overcome. They pretty much lost every starter in that secondary from last season. So that's going to be a big issue here, is that defense that they're going to be able to maintain. They're going to have to be a ball control offense to help protect that defense.
Yep.
Yeah, good call. So I'm gonna ask this question too, gentlemen. So, you know, we talked about them. Are they going to be okay? You know where Zeke was drafted at, right? He was the number 4 pick. So who do the Cowboys have running back before Ezekiel Elliott? Can you tell me? Do you know?
Before they drafted him, it was McFadden.
Before they were drafted. So again, I'm trying to make an interesting point here too, because, you know, that's why, you know, you drafted him because of what's happening right now too, because you knew that Matt, you know, obviously McFadden wasn't the guy per se, but you literally drafted this guy that high. So it's a problem is what I'm trying to say. It's a huge problem right now for the Cowboys. Not to say that McFadden is like, you know, chopped liver, but what I'm saying is as you mentioned too, Rob, that Ezekiel did add such a dynamic effect to that offense. And yes, like you said, JQ, the offensive line is great that you can put almost anyone behind them. But again, Ezekiel, that's a huge loss for the Cowboys. And like I said, I'm not going to say like, you know, they're going to be like 0-16 like that, but it's going to be a challenge. So this is why, you know, the appeal and everything is kind of tough. What's happening right now too, I know we talked about Jerry Jones and whatnot too. So you're hoping that, you know, they can hold water. You know, adding Alfred Morris, you know, Morris is a good move. Not sure if he's the total answer, but I am going to go on the limb and say the Cowboys are definitely in trouble. And, you know, even though we talked about, you know, the great offensive line, that defense has some challenges too. So, again, apologies to my Cowboys fans, but this is a huge, huge issue, a huge loss for them, I think, you know. So hopefully they can definitely get some momentum too as well too. Go ahead, sir.
Well, here's the thing about that, though. When you notice you're getting him back, it's not getting Elliott back from an injury. It's getting Elliott back from suspension. So if you're getting McFadden back and saying, you know what, you can do everything you need to do, balls to the wall for six games, don't hold anything back. It's not like you're asking McFadden to preserve his body for a 16-game season. That's not what he's being asked to do. He's asked to put it all on the line, him and Alfred Morris, for six games. And if you're asking two professional, legit, second string, maybe starting quarterback, running backs in the league to do that, you can get a lot more out of them when they know that I don't have to, you know, dodge this blow right here at the sideline. I can get three or more yards because I'm not being asked to play 16 games. I'm actually being asked to play six, and then I'm going to get spot duty when Ezekiel Elliott gets back. That's why I think what you're saying, you're right, but you have to also take that part into it of you can go all the way out for six games because you know when he comes back, he's going to dominate the touches, and you don't have to do as much. For those six games, you can live out your Heisman fantasies. You know what I mean? Like, do whatever you fucking need to do. You can juke and spin and stiff arm and just cut a fool for six games until you get him back.
To some degree, their backfield is going to be pretty fresh this year. I mean, they're going to rotate Morris to McFadden, and when Zeke Elliott comes back, you're talking about a guy who's missed six games. He's got a fresh leg. To take them through the stretch run of the season. So, to some degree, that could be a good thing for the Cowboys this season. They're going to have a very fresh backfield as the season goes along. Now, that being said, I mean, you all know how I feel about the Cowgirls, so I'm not going to lose any sleep if they lose them. So, I won't be losing any sleep.
We know. And like I said, I got to say, those are two great points you guys brought up. But see, again, I'm looking at the big picture, gentlemen. And what I'm looking at, too, is you talk about, yes, they're going to have, you know, Ezekiel Elliott is going to be back, you know, but still he's going to have to get back into certain type of shape and all that fun stuff about camp and everything like that, too. But I'm talking about that's going to affect the whole team. When I talk about that, we talk about you got a young Dak Prescott going into his second season, sophomore season. That's going to affect him as well, gentlemen, because the fact is you don't have that home run threat. Now I know I can play close line. If I say, you know what, I'm going to stop McFadden. I'm going to make Dak Prescott beat us. And is Dak Prescott ready for that? That's the question, too. So now you're definitely taking a weapon away from that offense. Now you're saying, all right, come on, McFadden. You can juke and turn and spin all you want, but we know we're going to put him in the box. Beat us, Dak. Now, again, not saying that Dak can't do that. This is going to be obviously a great move for him to get his development in as far as his football career, but it's going to be tough. So that's why I'm looking at the whole picture of the Cowboys, that this is a huge, huge thing that's affecting them too. So that's what I'm talking about.
You're right. But the thing about what you're also talking about is that a referendum on Dez Bryant. Because if you still have a B-plus running game or a B-minus running game, but you feel like you have an A-minus or A-plus running game with Zeke, but you still got Dez on the outside – does Dez Bryant show them more of that responsibility in those first couple of weeks? And is that a referendum on him of saying, okay, we don't have an A plus running game anymore. We got a solid B, if you call it a solid B. But to make us the offense we could be, Dez, come on, what you gonna do, Dez? Is that not a referendum on Dez Bryant? I think it is.
But that's what I'm saying.
And you got to think about your quarterback position, too. You're going to get the rush yards from Prescott as well. And
you still have the running element from
the quarterback position.
It's about Dez.
All I'm saying, gentlemen, is that this is a huge effect on the offense, too, because I'm not saying that he was like, you know, you know, Tony Dorsett days, but, you know, it is a big impact as far as what's happening, too, because, again, you know, if I'm looking at the Cowboys, I'm looking at, well, I'm going to double-team Dez, and then I'm really going to make, you know, Zach beat me. Even if it takes a little bit longer, he's got a great offensive line. We know that McFadden, you know, he's not the same guy that he was before. I mean, he's going to get some yards. They're not going to, you know, completely, you know, collapse. What I'm saying, it's going to have a huge effect on the Cowboys more than I think that we're expecting. If you had Tony Romo, a little bit more different. At least he knows, okay, I can kind of force some passes in there. I can do some things differently. But you got a young quarterback. And again, he's only in his second year in the league. So Ezekiel took a lot of pressure off him that offensive line did. But I'm just saying, keep that in mind as far as how the Cowboys are going to, you know, evolve. And then, you know, the defense is not that great either. So now you're going to have to play catch up, and we're going to go right into what they're looking for. So, again, I'm not trying to raise the alarm. I'm just saying that.
But yeah, Rob, one thing the Cowboys got to be concerned about, though, is Darren McFadden. When the last time he's going through a season healthy? So, I mean,
that's what I'm talking about, too.
He don't. Again, but he doesn't have to. He doesn't. But can he stay healthy even for the first six games? That's obviously a big question mark, because he hasn't been healthy in the National Football League in a long time.
Yeah. That's true. But you know what, Rob? That means that you don't have to worry about Dre drafting Dak Prescott or Dez Bryant in the next draft.
We know his draft strategy, right?
what was my draft strategy?
Or Alfred Morris, right?
Yeah, you ain't got to worry about them at all.
Or Dez Bryant.
Oh, my goodness.
Right.
Oh, man.
Or the Cowboys defense.
I'm going to take the best player available at my pick. If you have auto draft set, you're going to get in trouble, because you know that they're going to draft that for that too. But, you know, it's all good. And again, JQ.
Oh, don't even talk about auto draft. I messed up in two of my drafts so far.
It's okay. JQ, hey, JQ, I got to say, bro, thank you so much for not picking Julio Jones. I thought you were going to pick him at number three. I was like, but I was so happy that he let him drop, man. So,
hey, listen,
that was
I'm always going to take a prime running back over a wide receiver just due to the touches. So, yeah, you're welcome. And I hate to take Le'Veon Bell, but I'm going to do it to win the title. I will.
I was like, you know what tripped me out was your boy that took Tom Brady number one. He took number one over. That's hilarious. He took Tom Brady number one. I'm like, what?
That was nuts.
What?
That was nuts.
I was like, nobody saw that coming, man.
I was going to tell y'all something even worse than that. Somebody took Dak Prescott in the top five picks.
That's wild. That's
stunning. That's the most stunning pick in fantasy football draft of all time.
They'll call it stunning. Wow. That's the worst one. Go ahead, Dre.
I'm like you, JQ. You're getting your best player. There was a time in my draft, and I had Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees. I was like, man, if he takes Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to have to take Drew Brees. And Aaron Rodgers was there, so I was able to – but I would have took Drew Brees if I needed to. I'm like, hey, I'm not – it is what it is, man.
I couldn't believe that one had Drew Brees in the fifth or sixth round.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
Oh, man. So, that's how it goes. All right, we're having fun, America. So, again, I hope you guys kind of get what I'm saying with it, too. I'm not, again, Cowboys fans. I mean, send all your emails to Rob and JQ at TalkingSports.com. All I'm saying I wasn't bashing them. I'm trying to be objective and the realist. I was saying that I really think this is a huge impact on the Cowboys. And the fact that, again, just because of the circumstances. And not that Dak is going to be like, you know, whatever, because I'm rooting for the guy. I'm a fan. But what I'm saying, coming into the second year, it's going to be tougher for him, because now they're going to have books on him. They're going to figure out his tendencies, and that's tough, you know, now that you don't have somebody to kind of balance it out, too. So, again, that's all I'm saying.
All good.
And then speaking of Dak,
can y'all believe freaking Les Miles recruited Dak Prescott to play fullback?
Let it go. Let it go, Rob.
Do I have to pull out one of my last Miles rants on the show again?
No, you do not. We all know
hold
your last Miles rant. Drake, go ahead with the next topic. You was on your way to the next topic.
Oh, he's trying to set me up. I feel like I just got another bait and switch. Okay, all right.
No, that's freaking left round recruited
a dude to play fullback.
I'm saving you,
wow.
Drake. Next topic.
Thank you.
Don't get caught in that.
We'll talk about that in the OT. I am curious about that. All right. Speaking of.
Do your homework. I'm not
Dak
lying.
Prescott, I'm going to look that
you.
Up. Speaking of. And this is. And Rob, I got to ask where you get the topics from because it's just kind of like. The fact that we're mentioning Dak Prescott and Roger Staubach in itself is amazing, too. That's like Tom Landry going back to that. But again, I guess the question. Is he going to be the next Roger Staubach? Somebody say this, or, I mean, I hope someone said this to me. That's like,
I stole this from Skip
talk.
Bayless. He made the comment that Dak Prescott is the next Roger Staubach. I stole this topic from Skip Bayless.
Wow.
No.
Go ahead, bro.
Roger Staubach.
You got to elaborate that, bro.
Who's going first on this topic?
You.
That's you, Rob. Yeah,
me.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, hell no is my answer to the topic. I don't agree with Skip Bayless at all on this particular topic. Obviously, you know, Dak Prescott had a phenomenal rookie season. That's you know, let's get that out there. Roger Staubach had an incredible career, a double-digit season career. So it's still way too early to even mention Dak Prescott in the same breath as Roger Staubach. And this year, this is going to be a season where we can really get a good gauge on what kind of quarterback Prescott's going to be. Because typically in the National Football League, if you have a quarterback who has a great rookie season, that year two you want to see if they can follow up with the same performance. We've had a lot of guys that did not follow up. RG3, for example. I mean, I can go on and on of quarterbacks who did not follow up a successful rookie season with a successful second season. And so it's going to be real intriguing to see if he can follow that up. And obviously, you know, without Zeke Elliott for these first six games, I think we're really going to see what kind of player Dak Prescott is here this season. And so it's way too early to mention him in the same breath as a Roger Staubach, Troy Aikman, or even a Tony Romo for that matter when you talk about Cowboys quarterback.
Slow down. Slow down.
Yeah, or even a Danny White. If y'all remember Danny White.
I was going to say Danny White.
Slow down. Slow
down.
You
cannot put Dak Prescott in any of those guys' names. As of yet. Now, as Andre mentioned, yeah, obviously you want to see the brother succeed and have a successful career. But I don't
not
want to see Cowboys win any games.
That's fine. But, yes. But, yeah, you know, Roger Staubach is from Cincinnati, so I'm going to look at you and say slow down. Woo-woo. Let's just not get ahead of ourselves. But I agree with Rob. Woo-woo. Woo-saw. Woo-woo. Let's not get crazy. Roger Staubach is a Hall of Famer. Just be easy with that. And he's only going to the second year. But I don't want to rehash what Rob just said. I mean, we're so into this, you know, got to make everything the best thing we've ever seen now in life in our society right now where just let things marinate and let people earn that kind of, you know, pedigree and that kind of respect. I'm not saying he can't be him, but I'm not going to put that on him yet after one good year. Let's let him get some seasons after seasons behind him, and then we reevaluate where Dak Prescott is. But let's just be easy. Woo. Woo-woo.
Oh, man.
Oh, man, I thought you were doing your Martin Lawrence imitation.
I was. I stole it from him. I will give credit where credit is due. I stole it from Martin Lawrence.
I got it. You know, I'm liking this opportunity, guys, to back cleanup, man. I love the fact that you guys do your thing, too. You said some interesting points, too, and you got to think about this. And Roger Staubach, if you look at him, I don't know, he's like a 10th-round pick or something crazy like that. He obviously did 4 years. Then he started young. He was like a 27-year-old rookie. Who would allow that now in this league? I mean, that's crazy, right?
Yeah.
But
it's kind of like David Robinson
in
the NBA. He had to serve that 2-year Naval Academy assignment before his rookie season in the NBA. I think he was either 24, 25, maybe not quite 27 like Staubach, but he had to serve that. And, you know, obviously Staubach came out of the Navy as well, just like David Robinson.
Yep.
Also
yep.
Like Aaron Rodgers, I would sit behind Brett Favre.
Yeah, it's just kind of a timing thing, too, because this is a guy that – you know, not that we're talking about, you know, a lot of too much love for the Cowboys, I think, too, but it is interesting in the fact that how Roger kind of ascended, how I'll give that comparison to Dak because, you know, he kind of came in, he didn't really know what to expect, and he kind of took over to that. That's as far as a comparison go right now in the fact that it's way too early, as JQ said, too, to kind of make these assumptions and stuff like that, too. Again, I'm rooting for him as a player, maybe not as a team as the Cowboys, too, but again, it's kind of one of the situations, too. And I was, even as a kid, I remember I was a huge Danny White fan as a kid. I don't even know why. It's funny, but I had like a affinity for
Danny White.
Come on,
Drake.
Come on, man. Next topic.
Hold on.
Danny White?
Let me finish this up.
I'm trying to help you.
The same era as Joe Montana, Dan Marino, and you were Danny White fan?
Let me rephrase this. I should rephrase this. I remember like the Cowboys doing well, and I was like, "Oh, I thought I got it. I don't know what I had like a number 11 like Cowboys jersey."
I tried to help Dre.
I was a fan of the Marx Brothers for the Dolphins. I don't know. It was, you know, kid, you have different things. I moved around a lot too.
Oh,
so
I'm a fan
wild,
of the Marx Brothers now.
Yeah, so, but you know, again, not like
so
I was like,
you're...
"Oh, you know."
So what you say is you've always been a bandwagon fan.
That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying, I've moved around a lot in my life. I'm not going to, like, bare my soul here. So, again, I never really had, you know, so whenever I got to Atlanta, I've been in Atlanta long.
You never lived
like,
in Dallas?
Hey, I used to live in Bryan College. I used to live in Bryan College Station, believe it or not. I used to live in Bryan and College Station. Bryan College Station. That's where I was at.
Leave him alone, Rob. Let him have his moment. Leave him alone. Go ahead, Dre. You tell us all about Danny White.
It's all good. that's College Station is Aggie country, too, if you're not familiar with that, too.
I
that's
know.
Where I was at, too. And then,
Tech
know.
Man in yeah. College Station.
Yeah, we know.
No, that's where
we
I was
just,
at. That's where I was at, and then
you.
I had another stint. I get it, but I feel like, you know, I got to explain myself, and I'm over here all this. Yeah, I haven't really told everyone my life story, but that's why I've lived, and I've liked different teams, so I've been in different places, so that's why. Not because I'm like a random, like, bandwagon, just a fan. I'm like, hey, I've been here. I've traveled a lot in my life, too. So, again, Atlanta's been the longest place I've been at, so I've, you know, obviously associated with the Falcons, and then marrying the wife, you know, she loves the, you know, Warriors, and, you know, so obviously I got to support them too. So that's how it is. Not like I'm like, you know, so it is what it is. All right, topic wise, here, let's talk about this. Aaron Rodgers, and I guess the question is, will he break Peyton Manning's touchdown record this year? That's a really big question, really big feat. Go ahead, JQ, what do you think about this? Is he going to break the record this year?
Man, I wish I had Magic Mike with me. That's tough to project breaking a record
Big
like
Mike.
That. Yeah, you know, he was stopping. He's like, yeah, you know he's going to do it. Go Packers. But, you know, when you put that out in terms of breaking a record like that, I can't say that he's going to break that record. Could he do it? Does he have the talent in his arm and around him? Yeah, I think he could. But to say, you know what, Aaron Rodgers is going to do that this year. I can't say that, you know, I just can't say that, you know, it's like breaking a home run record, or it's just one of those things that if it happens organically, it happens, and you're like, okay, I witnessed history, but, like, I can't say that pre-season starting saying, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to throw the most touchdown passes in the year, like, I can't say that.
I mean, like you said, the most touchdown passes is 55, and that record was set by Peyton Manning with the Broncos in 2013. So that's pretty electric too. So
it's crazy.
Yeah, Rob. Yeah, go ahead, Rob. You're it's on you, bro.
I can't see that happening. 55. I mean, as you mentioned, Peyton Manning set that record in 2013 season. I mean, you have to have. I mean, your offensive line has to be phenomenal. You have to have about three or four incredible weapons on the perimeter. To have that kind of a season. And albeit, do I think he'll throw at least 30 or 40 this season? Absolutely. I think he'll definitely achieve those numbers. But, man, predicting somebody to throw 55 touchdowns in the season, I just can't see that happening.
It.
Yeah, 56 to break it. You're right. 55 to tie it. I just can't see that happening. I can't see it happening this season. I can't see it happening next season. And at this moment, I can't even see it happening in 2013. But I'm sure somebody along the lines here in the next several years may break it, but I just don't see it happening right now.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's like four touchdown passes every week, like 3 to 4 every week. That's crazy. That's hard.
At least. Yeah. The greatest show on turf, the Rams, even Kurt Warner had, like, I think the most he had was, like, what, 41? If I'm not mistaken, I got to check the stats. And that was the greatest show on turf. So,
well, yeah,
that was a real expressive. But, yeah, again,
but
I mean,
he had
even you had other weapons to, like Rob said.
You
got to
have weapons out
just...
of the backfield. You got to have a tight end that can catch. You got to have wide receivers. I mean, you just got to have a ton of weapons on your team.
But think about it. You have to have weapons out of the backfield, which your backfield weapons have to be, if you want to be honest, have to not be great on the ground to consume some of those touchdowns as rushing touchdowns. You know what I mean? Like, if you feel like if you got a good ground game, some of those touchdowns are going to be rushing touchdowns. You're talking about almost every touchdown you score in the game is on the arm of Aaron Rodgers. That's a lot to predict.
Yep. And the thing you got to realize, too, but not that I'm not going to say that Aaron Rodgers doesn't have this power from the quarterback position, but we all know Peyton Manning was the master of audibling at the line of scrimmage. If he had the 2-yard line, he's going to audible to throw a touchdown pass over a running play. So,
he had Joseph Addai. He didn't have the greatest running back on earth. Like, Joseph Addai was okay, but he wasn't like Joseph Addai was going to get
you. He was actually with the Broncos. He wasn't even with the Colts, but he didn't have Joseph Addai.
Okay, he had the Broncos. He still didn't have, you know, Gale Sayers. My point is he didn't have a running back where you would say that dude is going to get you 15 touchdowns where 56 passing touchdowns. Like, so you're saying 56 plus 15 is we're going to score 71 touchdowns this year? Like, come on, man. Like, that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be tough. We got about 8 minutes left in the show. We are making some good moves here. So the next topic, again, I'm going to embrace this as well. And we talk about Mr. Matt Ryan and my Falcons, if they can rebound from their Super Bowl loss as well. And I'm going to definitely start this off, if you don't mind, gentlemen. And I'm going to say, yes, they're going to rebound.
We figured you would.
You know, what am I supposed to say? No, we're going to, you know, coil in a corner and be in a fetal position and, you know, whatever. I mean, you got to play the games that are there, man. I mean, come on. I mean, it is what it is. At least I'm able to embrace it and talk about it, you know. So, I think the fact that, Dan Quinn has done all the right things as far as getting the mindset of the team correct, talked to a lot of people. And I love the fact that there's a lot of stories, not only in NFL and NBA and a lot of sports, whenever a team that loses, they come back through, you know, supposedly something that's epic, if you will. And it's epic, and there'll be another loss in the future, but, you know, it seems so fresh because it's right now. But we'll bounce back. You know, again, I have high hopes, and I hope it's Super Bowl. I hope we get a chance to, get an opportunity to raise the trophy and get it right this time, too. So everything, defeat leads to success. And it motivates you, and that's what I got to say about that, too. So I'm going to kick it to you, JQ, and I'll let Rob finish up as well. Sir, what are your thoughts about that, sir?
I agree. I think that Dan Quinn has set a really good foundation in Atlanta and his philosophy and the way they are roster building. I don't feel like they're going to have that hangover where they go 6-10 and you're like, what happened to the Falcons? I don't feel like that should happen unless you have some kind of rash of injuries, and I'm not hoping that on Atlanta. But if we're talking about projecting of everybody's healthy, what do they do the next year following? I don't feel like they have that hangover. I feel like they make the playoffs again. I feel like they win the NFC South.
Mm-hmm. They do. What about you, Rob?
And I hate to agree on this topic because obviously you all, I talked about how I mentioned how I like about, how I feel about the Cowgirls, and I feel the same way about the Falcons. But I have to agree that. When you look at their defensive personnel, I think Dan Quinn has done a phenomenal job building the young, talented defense from the kneel position at the safety position. The edge rushers, I really like the draft pick of Tack McKinley on the outside. I think that was a good idea to move up and get him to add another edge rusher to Dan Quinn's the defense. So I think from a personnel standpoint, getting Deion Jones from LSU, I think he's drafted a lot of players that fit his defense. Yeah, Duke Riley as well. So, obviously, I think that the Falcons are in a running to represent the NFC again. I think when you look at the NFC, even though I predicted the Giants to go to the Super Bowl out of the NFC, but I think it's very close between the Giants, the Packers, and the Falcons. It's been the top three teams in the NFC this coming season. And then we all know how close they're going
to
be offensively.
Because you love LSU,
and
you got to. You got
oh,
to.
Come on.
They got all
I don't
your
like
LSU players. You got to. Yeah, but they got all your LSU players. That's got to make it real rough on you right now, Rob.
Yeah.
That's got to make it real rough on you right now.
Oh, man.
Right there. Come on, bro. Keep it going. We'll talk about LSU, Rob, later, bro.
Once they
come
put on
bro.
The Falcons jersey, though, I don't root for them the most.
You are lying.
That's a stone.
That's a lie. People, you see Duke Riley. If anybody in that name the same, you're like, yes, LSU. And you're like, oh, no, that's the Falcons. But your second reaction is, oh, no, the Falcons. Your first reaction is LSU. You, come on, buddy. You know I'm telling the truth.
I'm telling you the truth. Once they put on the Falcons jersey, all
man.
That goes out the window. That's over.
Are they
I don't believe
right?
that. That's a lie.
That's over. But, you know, getting back to the Falcons situation, I don't think they'll have a hangover either. I think time heals all wounds. And I think, you know, once you have the offseason to kind of digest that, you kind of get back in the groove and you refocus. And like I said, I think they'll definitely be back in the running along with the Giants and the Packers. I personally, those would be the top three teams in the NFC.
Gotcha. This is interesting, too, because I think earlier Rob said that he didn't have to even make the playoffs, so I'm glad he kind of changed his tune about that, too, man. So, you know, I have to pull up that show tape. Didn't you say something like, you know, there's going to be, like, surprise that, you know, they're going to make it back or something like that earlier? Couple weeks before
we just did predict it last week. 2 weeks ago.
I'm talking about earlier towards,
I'm
going to
tell you what I said.
Probably about a couple months ago. You were talking about there's something going to make playoffs.
If you look at the last 20 years in the National Football League, every year, all I was saying, if you look at the last 20 years in the National Football League, every year there's 6 to 8 new playoff teams. And there's
you
can go back. I mean, you look at it. 2 years ago, the Panthers was in the Super Bowl. Next year, they're out of the playoffs. So I'm just, as of right now, I'm picking the Falcons to win the division. But all I was saying is there will be surprises because it happens every year. I don't know where the surprises are going to come from, but it will be at least 6 to 8 new teams in the playoffs.
I'm with you. I got you. I'm just saying. I thought that you mentioned earlier. I'm sure you said the topic on that too. So we'll come back on that. It's all good, man. We're amped up, man. Man,
well,
crazy.
I love
all
it.
Right,
I guess I'll be right either way.
Rob being right, clearly. This guy. All right, Rob.
Because
I'm doing a better job here.
If it don't make the playoffs, I'll say I'll go back early this year and I'll say there'll be new teams in the playoffs.
See, this Joker right. See how this Joker right. That's why you gonna lose fantasy, bro. We are right at the 2-minute mark, Rob. Go ahead and set us up for the OT portion, sir, to get ready to wrap this show up.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we once again apologize about the foolishness in the early part of our show this evening. We had no idea where that came from. Obviously, we were catfish,
so please
forgive us. We had nothing to do with that, obviously. And it's the first time that has ever happened to us on the air. So apologize if you called in tonight and we didn't take any more calls. If you really call to talk sports, make sure you hit us up on Twitter and Facebook. And we apologize once again for that foolishness. Next week, we'll be back on the air. Same night, Wednesday night, we'll be on 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central. For our friends in California, our listeners in the Bay Area, we'll be on at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. For our friends in Hawaii, aloha, we'll be on at 5 p.m. Hawaiian time on Wednesday night on next week. You don't want to miss us. We'll be talking NFL. We'll be getting ready for the first week of the NFL season. We'll be recapping the first week of college football, and we'll be previewing the second weekend in college football. I apologize. I totally forgot to put in our college football predictions. Maybe we will get that in our OT portion for the top 25 games for this weekend. So we unfortunately, we don't bring the OT portion of the show to you live, but we're going to be on the air about another 15 to 30 minutes. You can click on the same link. And you'll get our OT portion on tomorrow to hear the rest of the show. We got college football. We got NBA. You don't want to miss it. We're going to preview the top 25 games college football this weekend. Good night, people.
20 seconds, JQ.
Yes, sir. Hey, stop calling for that foolishness, y'all. That's BS. You know it's BS. We appreciate y'all for calling in. We keep this thing moving.
We don't
download the link. Well, not those folks, but everybody else. So, yeah, go ahead, Dre. Love y'all for tuning in to the show.
Yeah, we appreciate that as well, too. It's just one of those things that kind of shook us up. But as they say, the show must go on, and I appreciate you guys helping to overcome that. And as we always do, try to stay professional and keep moving, too. But, again,
that's crazy.
We are officially in the OT portion. And I really wanted to talk about – I'm glad we put this topic on there, Rob, about Matt Stafford. I'm curious, like I always throw these questions about Matt Stafford and his position as quarterback, if you think he was worth it, and we'll talk about that why in a quick second. But before we get
crazy
to that,
Rob Parker.
Rob likes to, you know, or I like to like give Rob a hard time because he knows how I feel about Jay Cutler. And this guy
is a bad
quarterback. Resurfaces. Oh my
god.
I can't even right now. I'm too triggered right now. But Jay Cutler gets a job with the Miami Dolphins, and he has that mentality of a gunslinger, clearly, mentality, attitude. And we'll talk about this next week because I'm setting the stage, too, because there's a couple of teams that we're going to question their quarterback play. And we're going to talk about, you know, one is the Dolphins and the Jaguars, you know.
It's three, the Bengals?
If you will. And, yeah, you know what? That's a good point, too, JQ, about your Bengals. Because if you're a different quarterback. I'm not, you know, again, like bashing these teams. It's just you're asking questions. Okay, if you had a different quarterback or what would you do?
Yeah.
Because you have enough talent around you. So now it comes down to this is the year. So
quarterback play, yeah.
As we come back to the Dolphins, and I guess you know, can they make the playoffs with Jay Cutler? Because again, Ryan Tannehill, I think he's better than Blake Bortles. Honestly, is it just bad luck? I mean, is it just whatever? Is he young? I mean, what's the deal with him? And then, yeah, you have Jay Cutler, like we talked about, his gunslinger mentality. Does he fit that team? And then, can he lead him to the next level? The question is on you, JQ. You're going to start the floor with that too, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, the thing about it is if you it's a numbers game. So if you talk about New England winning the East, you talk about reluctantly Pittsburgh winning the North, you talk about Oakland winning the West, you talk about, for me, it's Tennessee, but maybe Houston winning the South. Those are four. So then you talk about two wild cards, right? So I think Houston, Tennessee, both those teams make it. You got to look at Kansas City also and maybe a Denver out in the West. And nobody really outside the East, outside of Miami, and maybe if the Bengals, if all the stars align, make the playoffs. So when you talk about all the spots available for those six, I feel like Miami and Cincinnati are 7 and 8 in whatever order you prefer to put them in. And I think both of those teams are just on the outside looking in. So I don't think those
even
teams
with Jay
make
Cutler?
The playoffs in the NFC.
Even with Jay Cutler?
No, I do not.
Okay.
I would never. You know, I had a conversation with my friend earlier, and it's like, we were talking about drafting fantasy quarterbacks, and it was like there's three quarterbacks I can't draft because when they blow the game for me and destroy me in a week, all I can do is look in the mirror and say, you know better not to put that dude in the lineup. Jay Cutler,
uh-oh.
Andy Dalton,
uh-oh.
And dang it, I forgot the third person. It was the third one, and give me a second, but I forgot, but it was the third one. Like, if you look in the mirror, like, why would I put this dude in my starting lineup knowing he's going to kill me? And Jay Cutler is that guy. If you want to put money on Jay Cutler leading your team to the playoffs, God bless. You throw your money away. Give it to the Red Cross because it'd be better served. But I can't do that. I can't put Jay Cutler in Miami in the playoffs. I can't. No, I'm just saying. I can't do it.
Oh, man. Go ahead, Rob. Wow, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I agree. I thought the Dolphins were a playoff team with Ryan Tannehill, but obviously, as a wild card, of course, you just can't put that kind of faith in Jay Cutler.
Right.
Wow.
You just can't. I mean, I don't know what else to even say on this topic. Number one, you know,
that's the other one.
He's fairly injury prone too. So him going through a full season, you know, is going to be very wishy-washy if you're going to count on him for a full season, if you're Dolphins or if you're Dolphins head coach, for that matter. So I just can't see it. Will he possibly be able to keep them at 8-8, something like that? I believe that
yes.
It can be a 7-9, 8-8 kind of team. Maybe
yes.
9-7, but I don't even see 9-7 out of this team this season. So I'm looking at 8-8 kind of season for the Miami Dolphins. Now, there's a lot of talented personnel on this football team. Let's not get that twisted.
Mm-hmm.
We're
going to talk about
when
that.
You look at the rest of the roster, from the running back position to the wide receiver position to the defense, there's a lot of talent on this football team. So they would almost have to be a ball control kind of offense and rely on the defense to help them win a lot of games. If they can take the ball out of Jay Cutler's hands, he might have a chance because, once again, there is some talented personnel on this football roster.
They are the seventh or eighth best team in the AFC. They are with Jay Cutler. They're going to be right on the cusp of the playoffs, but they won't make the cusp because Jay Cutler is their quarterback,
mm-hmm.
period.
Yep, I agree with that.
Wow. Yeah, you know, Jay Cutler reminds me of that girl that, you know, it's the hot girl and then she lets you down, man, because, again, it's just, you know, she looks good and then there's something else behind it. Like, why is she single? You know, it's one of those things, man. That's what I think about, you know. So it's just, you know.
Why is this chick by
you
herself?
Why you think that he's got all the tools and there's just something else that just is just not right. Whether, I mean, I hope he's learned from his Chicago days because I don't see him as that guy that just kind of unifies the locker room, and I could be totally wrong because I don't know him personally, but from what, you know, the appearance looks like, just, you know, I don't know. I don't see guys like rallying, but yeah, I don't know. That's just me, but, you know, I could be off, but he is talented enough, clearly, as you mentioned, JQ, Rob, to help that team. They are talented, but again,
he's not an
like
over the hump quarterback.
JQ, yeah. I'm not. If
he's
you,
not.
You tell me I'm going with Jay Cutler, I'm like, I don't know about that one. 100% accurate. With, I agree
right.
with you.
You got to look in the mirror. You got to look in the mirror and say, I thought Jay
mirror.
Cutler this week. What was I thinking? That's who he is. That's the truth.
That's crazy. I love it.
Even one step about that. We've got two drafts we've done. Jay Cutler is still on the wire in both of our drafts, sitting out there waiting to be picked up.
There's more better quarterbacks, though. I mean, we have such a smaller league. We had, like,
it's 12,
16 teams.
I think
Andre
is going to pick him up.
We got 12
no,
teams
no,
in both leagues, and
no,
that means 24
no.
quarterbacks. Almost everybody has a quarterback and a backup quarterback. So that means there's 24
no.
quarterbacks in both leagues.
No.
Jay Cutler is still sitting on the waiver wire. What does that
no.
mean?
No.
Andre is going to pick him up.
No. No. No.
I'm just putting it out there. The
no.
numbers, the numbers
no.
prove themselves.
He's going to go to sleep no. tonight and be like, Jay Cutler.
Man, I'll pick up.
Jay
I'll pick
Cutler.
Up, I'll pick up Robert
Jay
Griffin III.
Cutler.
I'll pick him up. But you got to be nuts, man.
You pick up Ryan Leaf for him, right?
Yeah, easily. All right, gentlemen. This is
people
a pretty interesting. Yeah, I've picked Deshaun Watson over him. That's how much I think.
And he
that.
Ain't even starting. That's the point.
I know.
That's the point.
All right. So let's talk about this. If you didn't know, this week the Detroit Lions basically said, hey, Matthew Stafford, you are a guy, man. They offered him an extension worth $135 million over 5 years. He's a 9-year quarterback. It'll make him the highest paid player in NFL history. So, yeah, he gave him a cool $27 million. You know, is this a good move, Rob? I mean, what is this saying to the Lions and Matthew Stafford, because I'm going to venture to say that the Lions have not been able to get over the hump, and that's not – they're obviously in a subdivision. But, yeah, is he worth it is the question.
Well, do I think Matthew Stafford is a franchise quarterback? Yes, I do believe he is a franchise quarterback. Has he had the personnel around him to help take that team over the hump? Maybe if Calvin Johnson would have stayed a couple more years. But obviously, I think he still hasn't had a Super Bowl-winning, talented roster around him yet. But I do believe he's a franchise quarterback. And I think with these contracts right now, it's all about timing. The next
yep.
franchise
mm-hmm.
quarterback that is that's due for a contract is going to surpass this one. And it's just about timing. That's what it's all about. So – this is just the going price for quarterbacks in the National Football League right now, and that's just the bottom line. He is a top-tier quarterback in the league. Is he a top five? No, but he's considered a top-tier quarterback in the league. And they're just going to get this kind of money. That's just the bottom line. I don't know who the next franchise quarterback is due for a new deal, but whoever is it going to be is going to surpass this contract. The salary cap
and
keeps rising. The price of quarterbacks keep rising, legitimate quarterbacks, that is. And, you know, he's taking the Lions. I didn't think the Lions were a playoff team going into last season. They went in. They made it. Obviously, the defense was really good. And but, you know, I mean, he's better than 20 to 22, maybe even 28. No, not 28. I'm sorry. I take that back.
Down.
Maybe he's better than 24 of the quarterbacks in the National Football League. So
he's
definitely
in
the upper echelon.
He's
somewhere
top.
Between 6 and 9 in the National Football League. That's for sure.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I was going to say, I'm not gonna give him that kind of disservice, but I agree with what you're saying. It is timing. That next in line quarterback that's in the top 10 to 12 quarterbacks is always going to surpass it to that next quarterback that's up for their contract. And then that quarterback is going to break the bank. That's just how it goes. It's all about timing.
Yeah.
He won't be the highest paid quarterback forever and all time, you know, moving forward. May only last a year. That's the point. It's all about timing. So don't get your, you know, feathers all ruffled up about it. Like, oh, he's making more than Matt Ryan. Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady.
No, it was not going to do that.
Yes, Rob Parker. That's crazy. Colin Kaepernick is not better than Matthew Stafford. Colin Kaepernick should have a job, but he's not better than Matthew Stafford. That's why you keep getting fired from everywhere that you work at, because you say ridiculous things like that. That's stupid. Stop it. That's not the
idiotic.
Truth. It's very, very idiotic. But it's timing. Wow. It's just that when the next quarterback is up for his contract, he will surpass Matthew Stafford and so on and so forth.
As I kind of come back to this topic, and we've got about 4 minutes left, so I hopefully we can consider, if you don't mind, keep talking, guys. We got a little bit more time. If you want to, you know, we can keep going here.
We got 3 or 4 college football games we need to get predictions.
Yeah, we'll talk about that briefly. So I'm just going to say this briefly. I'm going to agree with you guys. I agree with that he is a franchise quarterback. What I differ on a couple of points is the fact that there's certain things about – you talk about timing, Rob, and I think if Stafford had better coaching, he'd be in a different situation. What I mean is that, you know, you said to JQ too about him not having as much talent around him. I mean, Calvin Johnson was the guy. I don't think – he was put in the best positions to be successful and having that stable coach. And that's not knocking the coach totally, but you got to look at, you know, Tom Brady didn't have the best receivers, but he still was able to elevate, but he had Bill Belichick, you know, so other teams have been able to do less with more and whatever too. So Stafford is clearly talented. I mean, would you take Stafford on your team, JQ, as your quarterback, bro? Can you imagine if Stafford had A.J.
Green? I'm sure he would take him over Andy Dalton.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, sir.
I mean,
no question.
He would probably do wonders with offense. So it's just showing you that, you know, if you – different quarterbacks in different scenarios and how they'd be more successful. And I think that's what, unfortunately, Matt Stafford is a victim of. He's just not had that, I guess, right coach or circumstance to kind of get him over the hump as well, too, man. It's just tough, man. You know, I'm not saying we're going to go back to the Wayne Font days or anything like that, too, but
– not Wayne Font.
You know, I know. I was taking it back. But it just kind of goes to show you, too, that you do have to put your players in the best position, and coaching is huge, gentlemen, to make sure that they can kind of elevate that squad, too. So that's just me talking about it, too. Moving on, we're not gonna spend too much time, too, because we're getting right pushing up here, too. Let's talk a little bit more about college football here. We'll take a quick little step here, and hopefully we get to some NBA predictions as well, too. The Washington Huskies football program, maybe not. Washington Huskies program, this is interesting. I'm not really sure where to go with this, so I'm going to throw this to you, Rob, and JQ follow back to this, because interesting as far as what's been happening on them, but they obviously had a great season right now. Big fan. What are your thoughts about where their expectations went into this season, Rob?
Well, I think they're still going to be a really good football team this season. Are they going to be as good as they were last year? No. They lost a lot of great NFL personnel off that roster from last season. You're talking about Buda Baker. You're talking about John Ross. at the wide receiver position. They lost a lot of top-notch NFL personnel. Now, that being said, they're still going to be very good at the quarterback position. They're going to be very good on their front seven on defense. And they're going to be very good at the running back position. This team is still very talented, and Chris Peterson has done a phenomenal job with this football program. Right now, they're going into the season ranked number 8 in the country. I have them going to the Pac-12 championship game against USC, but I think USC will be a step better than them this season. USC, I think, is a contender for the national title this season. Sam Darnold is a clear-cut favorite at the moment to be the number 1 pick in the NFL draft next season, and USC is loaded with personnel. I don't think they're going to win a title, but I think they could definitely make it to the college football playoff, USC. And they will win the Pac-12, but Washington will still be very good.
I'm drawing a blank.
Friday night at Rutgers.
Who's their quarterback? I'm drawing a blank for Washington. He didn't leave,
Browning.
Right?
Jake Browning.
Yeah, that's right. It totally like, that's what I was thinking of, too. That's why I said, go ahead, JQ. Thank you for helping me out. Finish that thought, too, as well. Your thoughts about that, about the Huskies.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about them because, USC is going to probably win the Pac-12. I want to talk about the football season coming up. I'm hopeful that Michigan and Florida, like, end in a tie, like a 0-0 tie, because I don't want either one of those bastards to win. So that's just where I am personally. But that's going to be a good football game. But Florida State and Alabama, I hate it, but I got to go with Alabama.
Well, let's go with these predictions while we're at it. Michigan at Florida.
Let's do it. 0-0 tie.
Cool. Michigan and Florida in Dallas at AT&T Stadium. Who wins?
0-0 tie.
Michigan.
I'm not picking up winning that game.
I'm going to go with Michigan because I think Florida's got a lot of young talent on defense that's going to need to grow. Florida's lost a lot of young they've lost a lot of defensive personnel to the NFL. Michigan has lost a lot of talent to the NFL from last season. But I think Michigan has a little bit more young talent from a recruiting standpoint. They might be able to step in and play right away than Florida does. Both of these teams have serious question marks, but the talent is there. But I think Michigan's talent base is a little stronger than Florida, which is kind of unbelievable to say when we talk about the state of Florida and football talent. But I'm going to go with Michigan in this game.
I'm not picking anybody, so go ahead, Dre. I'm not picking anybody.
I said Michigan. Go ahead, Rob. Finish the prediction.
Next game, Florida State and Alabama. I think JQ already said Alabama.
Yep.
It's just hard to pick against Alabama. This game, I believe, is in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta.
Yep.
And, it's as much as I want to see Alabama lose, I just can't pick against them. Nick Saban's still the best coach in college football. I know that was one of our questions. Is Jim Harbaugh the best coach in college football? No, he isn't.
Hell
Nick Saban still is that guy. Has Jim Harbaugh done a great job reinventing the football program in Michigan? Yes, but he hasn't beat Ohio State yet. And Nick Saban in Alabama.
Yes, sir.
And I think they will beat Florida State in Atlanta. That game both of those teams could very well still be in the college football playoffs and meet again later this season. And I think the last game for top 25 matchups, number 22, West Virginia, versus number 21, Virginia Tech at FedEx Farm in Washington. Who wins?
Will Greer and West Virginia.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with JQ because, that one experienced quarterback. Yeah, go ahead. I agree 100%. Go ahead, Rob.
I'm going to go Virginia Tech. I think it's going to be a very close football game. But I'm going to go with Virginia Tech. Their defense is expected to be loaded, and I think they'll be very good. I'm going to go with Virginia Tech. And those are the only three top 25 matchups in college football this weekend.
And you guys have to make sure that you give me a little space tomorrow because Ohio State plays Indiana on the road tomorrow night. So I'm going to be all in on that matchup tomorrow night. And so if you see me say something crazy on Twitter, text something crazy, just forgive me. Because I'm in the thralls of the beginning week of college football, and that's a tough road game. So, go Bucks.
Just stay away from
yes,
the beer,
sir.
Bro.
I'm not going to promise that. So, I'm just going to be honest about it. I'm not going to promise that. But I really like Florida State and Alabama also to end in a 0-0 tie, but that's not going to happen.
and we talk about college coaches, it, to me it's easy. It's Nick Saban, and then Dabo and Urban are 2A and 2B. They're close. Like, they're really close.
I would
close.
Still put Urban Meyer number two. I think I'll still put Urban Meyer in the number two position. I think Dabo is starting to – he's going to two straight national championship games. So you got to give him credit where credit is due. So you got to put him at the number three position right now. But I would still put Urban Meyer in the number two spot just based on what he's done from a longevity standpoint. When you talk about what he's done at Florida and what he's done now, what he's doing now at Ohio State, I would definitely still have him at the number two position.
Hey, listen,
I'm surprised.
I hear
you. Go ahead, but doing the
Urban Meyer Nick Saban two step to your first national championship, you gotta get that dude a whole lot of credit. How many people say they beat Nick Saban and Urban Meyer on their way in the playoffs to win a championship?
Mm-hmm.
That's heavy business right there for Dabo.
I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I thought you were going to say have Les Miles up there, Rob. So I'm glad you were able to kind of.
Oh, not Les Miles,
man! Come on, dude. Les Miles won one national championship with Nick Saban's talent.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
That was a shot. I was just messing with Rob on that.
It was.
And he sent the most. He's recruited the most NFL players in the last 5 to 6 years and has no national title to show for it.
See. Come on, Dre, why would you do that to him? You know what's going to happen.
I'm sorry.
He recruited Dak Prescott as a fullback, dude.
See, I told you. Why would you do that? You know you're going to get started. You ain't
Andre,
no good.
He will probably recruit you as a quarterback when he should be recruiting you as a water boy.
I'm okay. See, now we're going to switch out. I'm going to let you have your little diatribe. I was going to let you have your drive try, but, you know, you got to talk about me and my waterboarding skills. I just watched it really, by the way. That was fantastic. You know, even though Rob is a cowboy.
Bobby Boucher.
That's some high quality H2O.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any lines in that movie? Oh. I just know. You sound like a big choo-choo train.
Right.
So much, man. Oh, my goodness. Are we going to talk about some NBA predictions or what?
You said NBA?
You guys have any
early
NBA surprises?
The Warriors are going to win the title again? No. Why are we talking about the NBA? We can talk about that in weeks to come. No. Go to bed.
Okay.
Warriors are going to
win it again for sure. But
yes.
No surprises? You don't have any teams you think will be a surprise this season?
The surprise is what? Lose to the Warriors? No, I mean, I'm just saying.
A non-playoff team making the playoffs this season.
Oh, man.
A non-playoff team making the playoffs this season. Yeah. Minnesota.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. I think the Pelicans, too. I know it might sound like a homer.
But
Minnesota.
Might sound like a homer.
But Minnesota definitely. That team with Jimmy Butler and Towns. They can never get Chris Dunn to come around and give them some then you talk about Andrew Wiggins. Yeah, that team looks like it has a bright future.
And
then we talk about the the Pelicans obviously you get the first full season with Anthony Davis and Marcus Cousins. Jrue Holiday is finally healthy. Rajon Rondo, so you're hoping that they can finally get to the playoffs. Well, probably won't go far, but they could definitely be somewhere around a 6 or 7 seed in
the
Western Conference.
They can be the 7th or 8th seed.
They can
be the 8th seed. You stop it. They can be the 8th seed. Stop it.
Utah Jazz. Let's look at the Western Conference right now.
Hold on, Rob. Before you say that. I think that my surprise, I think that the Clippers are going to implode, bro. They're going to go like the total opposite direction. That's just me. I think they're going
to
implode.
And that's what I was about to point out to JQ. The Clippers won't be as good.
Yep.
The Jazz won't be as good. They lost Gordon Hayward.
Yep.
The Clippers lost Chris Paul. And the Memphis Grizzlies won't be as good. Those are three playoff teams that could possibly not make the playoffs at all.
Why?
So
Memphis?
When you look at the Western – Well, Memphis, they lost Zach Randolph. And so you don't have him. And that team was spiraling toward the end of the season. I mean, they were like number two and three for the West most of the season. They fell
Pacers?
All the way to number seven at the end of the year for the Pacers in the East. But yeah, they were
definitely
going to fall out of the playoffs.
Yeah,
so if you look at the Western Conference now, we know it's all about the Warriors. As long as they're healthy, they are going to win it again. You still got the Spurs. The Rockets is going to be interesting to see how that comes apart. I mean, comes to play with Harden and Chris Paul. And then you have OKC with Paul George and Russell Westbrook. Paul George, I'm sorry. And so you're looking at those four teams as possibly the top four teams in the West. Possibly. You know, we don't know what's going to happen. After that, you got to start looking at what Minnesota.
Portland,
that's six. In my opinion, the Pelicans are right there. Will be seven.
Okay, so seven to eight.
And then you have the Denver Nuggets, who I think were getting Paul Millsap, and they're getting healthier as well. They'll probably be right there in the mix. So those probably are the top eight teams in the West. So I mean, you're looking at some perimeter. You're looking at the Jazz, the Clippers, and the Grizzlies. In my opinion, all falling out of the playoffs.
Mm.
My Lakers gonna make the playoffs. I'm just playing. I'm bullshitting. They're not gonna make the playoffs.
I'm about to say you're gonna wake up after that.
Oh yeah, I'm joking. That's a joke. I'm just bored. I'm just playing.
Yeah.
Boy, he's trying hard. You're gonna get your boy next year, bro. Just slow your roll. You got your boy Lonzo Ball holding it down until Paul George comes in and LeBron comes in. So you know.
I'm joking. I'm not gonna make the playoffs.
They
I know
the
that. I'm playing. I'm playing. I fully admitted that was a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Are we just sticking with the West? Are we done? We're gonna say the East for next week is what it sounds like. Is that correct, Rob?
No, that's all we have for today. There won't be no surprises in the East. The only two teams we're talking about is the Celtics and the Cavs in the East.
No, it's not true. The Wizards as well. I'm gonna throw the Wizards in there, and my dark horse team are being the Milwaukee Bucks with the Greek Freak.
Oh,
That's my
top
everybody
four.
On that team got long arms, too.
There's
some lengthy
moves
on that team.
everybody's
6'9
like
with a 7'8" wingspan.
Yeah, man.
Right.
Yeah, they probably got a 6'9 point guard. Hey, you want to play point guard? Yep, I got you.
And they're not just 6'9", they got like 7'10" wingspans.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. So I'm not going to sleep on them, and the Raptors are probably fifth. So six through eight.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah,
I think the Milwaukee Bucks are definitely an ascending team. Are they going to be contending next season for a title? Not yet, but they're on the right path to be an ascending team. And with that kind of size and athleticism they have, they should be an elite defensive team because of their length.
Yep.
Well, so even if the Cavaliers lose Kyrie, does it doesn't matter? Are they still going to be up there? They get Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah,
even
they still
hurt,
top five.
Well, they still have LeBron James, and he's going to keep them in the mix.
Yeah,
right.
I'm with you. I was curious
about
judges, how much.
But if you talk about ranking them, they're still in that top five. They don't fall in the top five. So all the teams we just named, if you want to say they drop down from one or two to fourth or fifth, they're still in the top five. They're not going to fall below that. And then anybody
at worst, Cleveland's number two. I can't see Cleveland falling worse than number two yet. As long as LeBron James is in his prime,
I say top five.
I
can't
five.
See Cleveland falling all the way number five.
If Isaiah Thomas can't play for 3 weeks, if Isaiah Thomas gets there and he can't play for 2 months and they have too much road to get back and they end up 4 or 5, you don't want to see him in that 4 or 5 matchup. But if they end up with like the fourth or fifth best record, I can see that happening with a bad Isaiah Thomas tip happening. I can see that happening. Like, so I can't say that won't happen. But LeBron James with Isaiah Thomas getting healthy towards the end of the year, even in the 4 or 5 slot, is still a legitimate threat to win the Eastern Conference. That's a given. I will always say that. But in terms of final records, I can't say that they're going to finish top two if Isaiah Thomas is not healthy. I can't say that.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we've literally talked about a lot of stuff. It's been a pleasure talking with you guys, and thank you for getting to that crazy first couple of minutes there.
They
but
cost
again,
us 10, they
we'll
cost
see,
us 5 minutes, bastards.
They did.
Mm-hmm.
They did.
Sorry,
they did. Because it was totally like,
I'm
no,
sorry.
It's all good. It totally, no, it was like, what? I was like trying to, I was literally looking at some of the other, and I was trying to flip back to like cut him off. I'm like, what just happened? So I didn't cut him as quick as I wanted to, but, you know, as Jake said, I guess we finally arrived from that situation. You got folks prank calling you. But again, as Rob said, you know, that's not what we do, but we had fun. We were able to kind of like come back and finish it strong too. So, gentlemen, have a great, great weekend. We'll always keep moving and look forward to the next draft. I am not picking 10th. I'm going to be picking first again or second.
No,
but,
sorry.
It'll be
10th.
Fun. And
get your mind right. Get your mind right about 10th. You're picking 10th.
Man, I'm not putting that on the universe. I'm putting like high. Put it high, man. But you know, anyway, it's all good. It's been fun.
I'm putting it
in. Man, I probably gonna be picking later on. That's all good. So that's probably how they will try to do me too, because Yahoo has a funny way of coming back around doing stuff like that as well too. But again, looking forward to the draft. Rob, check and see if we got an open spot, open slot, if you will. Because I know the missus is definitely wants to incorporate that, and we'll have some fun. Yeah. So she'll work for her. But anyway,
I'll take a look at it on tomorrow for sure and get back to you.
Stand up, Marcy.
All right. She's ready. So, anyway, gentlemen, have a good rest of the evening. Thank you. I know we're a little later, but we had a lot of things to talk about, and I'm a little triggered, so it's always fun. But, again, enjoy. A lot of love. Show me some love. I may be going to Mercedes-Benz tomorrow. I'm going to see the stadium for the first time. It's
going
to be fun since I may not get a chance to live in the regular season because, yeah, so it's going to be fun to kind of check that out.
Monday.
That's what's up, man. So, cool. We'll compare clip notes for sure, man. Looking forward to that, man. But, anyway. Hope all is well, and same time, see you guys next week. Be good, gentlemen.
Yes, sir. Same bat time, same
bat
channel. Holler at y'all next week.
There it is. Yes, sir.
Good night, people.